Well, good morning. We're going to welcome you to the Crossing. We're glad you're with us here today. We're wrapping up our series on Guard Your Heart. And we've really been tackling this issue that oftentimes we think that what we say comes from our mind. But Scripture is very clear in Matthew 15 that what we say comes from our heart. If you've lived life for any point in your life, you've had the moments where you've said something that you wish you would not have said. It came out and you say, I didn't mean to say that. Or someone says, where did that come from? And you're like, I don't know. Well, we know from Scripture, it came from the heart. And knowing that, in Proverbs chapter 4, 23, it tells us to guard our heart above all else. Why? Because it will determine the direction of your life. So knowing those Scriptures, we've been looking at it saying, how do we guard our heart? Now, I've been sharing different stories with you how throughout my life and with our kids that there have been moments where we've said things or done things we didn't mean to say, and my parents have corrected or we've corrected our kids. I was thinking back on it this week as I was preparing, and I thought, what was one of the first times this happened to me? And I remembered, you know, I vaguely even remember the story because I was so young that my mom, she loves to retell the story. If you know my mom, she loves to tell stories about me. And so I was young, I was in the store, and you know, we going through this process like we do with our kids. You teach them what to say, how to act, and what to do. And there was a guy there in the store, and he was a little bit overweight, but more importantly, he was wearing a shirt that did not fit. You know what I'm talking about here? Wardrobe malfunction. Thank you. So he had that belly sticking out, you know, and I tended to tell my mom, I said, look, that guy, look, his belly's sticking out. My mom's like, yeah. You know, she's like, hush, let's go. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Look. She's like, let's go. And you know, and so about this time we get a little close and I reach out there, man, I pinch the fire right out of his belly. And that guy jumps back and I look at him. I said, I pinched your belly. And my mom is like, dying. And she's like, and I remember this part because this happened to me more than once. You know, that whole dragging where you're like, you're not walking, but your mom's dragging, you know, like I drugged to the other aisle. And I got the thought of, you don't say everything. You don't do this. You know, you go through this where the parents are teaching, you don't do these things. And isn't that what we do? We work on our filter. We try to get our filter set. We tell our kids, you can't say this, you can't do this, this is how you do this. And because we want to live in a certain way. But the reality is, it's not enough to simply monitor our behavior. It's not enough to simply monitor our heart, monitor what we say. We must monitor and guard our heart. We've got to monitor our heart. We've got to guard that heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, what happens is over time, our filter grows thin and our heart pierces through and we share our true feelings. And who are the ones that get hurt the most? The ones we love the most. That's always the ones we spill on. Why? Because we know they're going to love us no matter what. And so we have to learn to guard and protect our heart. And we've looked over this series at Matthew chapter 15. Let me just read it to you. It says, Jesus says this, but the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. From the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, slander. Now, this is interesting because we say, no, that comes from the mind. He's saying, no. It comes from the heart. You see, what comes out of your mouth is evidence of what's in your heart. So the whole saying of just saying or, hey, I'm just saying, or if I'm just, oh, I didn't mean that. The reality is our filter grew thin and it came out and we didn't want to say it, but it came out. And that's what we looked at, Proverbs 4:23. This is the power behind it. It says, guard your heart above all else. Why? It determines the course of your life. That's huge. That means it has the power to steer your life. Now, James talks about this. He talks about the power of the tongue. You remember this? If you read in the book of James, he says that tongue, it can start a whole forest fire ablaze. So we know, but what is it heart? How do I control the tongue? I guard my heart. So we've been asking the question, how do you guard your heart? And over the last 4 weeks, we've unpacked the different areas, the four primary areas that Satan will come and try to attack your heart. And if you'd like to listen to them, you can go to our website, you can go to the online church media player, or you can go to a podcast and subscribe, and you can listen to the messages. But here's the basic ones we've dealt with. The first one is guilt. Guilt says that I owe you. And it's this beating us selves down, and if you allow that to come in, it will destroy your life. And the only way to break the power of guilt is confess. Confess to the Lord. Confess to those who you've wronged or even perceive wrong. The second week we looked at anger. Anger says, you owe me. You know, you've done something, you owe me. And the only way to break the power of anger in your life is forgiveness. To forgive those who have hurt you or you perceived have hurt you. Last week we looked at jealousy. Jealousy says that God owes me. And the only way to break that is to stop coveting and ask God, what is best for me? Believe it or not, when jealousy rises up, it's literally a part of us saying, you know what, God, you're not doing enough for me. And if you want to listen to this, like I say, go back and you can catch up on this series. But the final enemy of the heart I want to deal with today is greed. Now, this is a tricky one, because greed at its core says, I owe me. It's when we feel that we deserve something more than we have. Like, I don't have enough. I need this. I have to have this. Now, here's the catch. Catch this. The unguarded heart is highly susceptible to this debilitating disease. It's difficult to diagnose and especially difficult to self-diagnose. Now, let's walk through this. No one says the greed issue. Now, let's walk back through. We have guilt. People say, man, I just feel guilty. We'll admit that. Man, I feel guilty. I know there's something guilt about me. There's times I'm mad. We'll admit that one easy, huh? I'm angry. That makes me mad. We can I'm mad. I'm jealous. Man, I can't believe I want that. Why do they have that? We can admit jealousy. Nobody admits greed. Nobody says, I'm greedy. I mean, we don't say it. That's not going to happen, you know. I'm not saying I'm greedy. But it's like, why? Because it's difficult to self-diagnose. We don't want to admit greed in our life. None of us do. It reminded me, as I was thinking about this, my dad, you know, a few years back, we went to vacation. And we were going to the beach. It was a big, my mom and dad and our family, our two families were going. And my dad has a tendency to blow things out of proportion. And my mom is the strong arm that just says, suck it up, let's go, you know. And so my dad said, I mean, I'm not feeling good. And she's like, you're fine. He's like, I really don't feel good. She's like, it's worry. Get over it, you know, let's go. And so we're not missing this vacation. And so they're going through this. Well, anyway, dad said, I think I need to go to the doctor. She's like, fine, go to your primary care, get checked out, but we're leaving. You understand? And so she goes with him to the primary care just so he can't get a cop out, right? And so she goes, and the primary care says, you know, I'd really like to run some more tests. I'm kind of concerned about his heart. Well, you got to understand, my dad is like skin and bones. I mean, he is a rail. He drinks water, nothing but water, will not drink any other liquid. He drinks, he eats the healthy grains, all the fruits and vegetables. I mean, if you could follow that little pyramid, that's my dad, you know? And so my mom's like, he's fine. Do you see this boy? He's fine. The doctor's like, well, and they're good friends with the doctor. And she said, he just told her, he said, listen, she said, are you telling me he's going to screw my vacation up? And he's like, no, well, you know, he said, just be very careful. But come see me immediately when you come back. So we go on the trip. And, of course, my mom, in good fashion, she's got a whip. She's keeping him going, you know. And so we decide we're going to the beach. We're going to go to the beach. Well, I won't forget it. My dad's like, man, I feel terrible. She's like, suck it up. You know, we're here with the kids. They're on the beach. This is what grandparents live for. And so, anyway, he ends up going to the beach. And he doesn't feel good, but he pushes through. When he goes back to the doctor first thing, they find out my skinny little dad has 5 blockages in his heart. And one of them was the widowmaker, the one that was behind that was very, very serious. At that point, my mom felt about that big, you know. She's like, okay, I feel a little bad for getting on his tail, you know. But here's the deal. It was hard to diagnose if you don't do the proper test. The same thing happens in our spiritual lives. If we're not willing to go through the test and diagnose and realize there could be something wrong, then that has the ability to destroy our lives. And that's how greed operates. Greed is one of those things that we don't want to admit, we don't even want to say. Many of you may have watched the Mayweather, you know, the Mayweather fight they had last night. And we were in the car on the way here, and the kids were asking about it. And they're saying, man, who does this? And Gracie said, what? Why would they do that? Why do they fight like that? I said, money. She said, they're that greedy? I said, oh, yeah. You know, the paycheck they get paid out for that. But greed says this, I owe me. I deserve this. I it's on me. I should have this. Let's look at Luke chapter 12 today. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus addresses this very issue. He is speaking to a crowd, and someone called out from the crowd, and they said this, verse 13. It says, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said this, watch this, "But beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Then he told them a story. He said, "A rich man had a fertile farm. He produced fine crops. Then he said to himself, 'What should I do? I do not have enough room for all my crops.' Then he said, 'I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored up for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for?'" Now catch this. "Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." Now, the first thing I want to look at here is Jesus said, beware. In verse 15, he said, watch out. Beware, watch out for this. This is a trap. In other words, guard your heart on this one, because this is something that the enemy is going to attack you with. If you've lived at any point in life, you understand this. We all like things. One of the first words we learn as kids is what? Mine. It's mine. I want. And it's natural for us. But yet, Jesus is telling us this is a tool. This is a trick of the enemy, that greed seeps in. And before you know it, you're going to be in a spot where you don't want to be. You're going to be in a place where you cannot self-diagnose, and danger can come upon you. But he's telling him, look, be careful. Why? Because this is one of the hardest areas to catch. It's one of the hardest areas for you to see coming. You see, greed can take up residence in our heart and live there for years undetected. Many of us can battle with this for a long period of time and not even realize that there is greed attacking us. Why? Because we don't want to admit it. We don't even want to see or say that it has anything to it. So we just kind of live life and push it out. So let's look at the lie that fuels all greed. Jesus talks about it in verse 15. And he asks this question. Let me ask this question to you. How do you measure life? How do you measure your life? How is it measured for you? Because that is a great indicator of how greed is in your heart. How do you measure your life? Think of it like this. Jesus said, life is not measured by how much you own. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? But yet, let's think about it. We like nice things, don't we? We like the comforts of life. My father-in-law says it like this. He says that money isn't everything, but it sure makes life a whole lot easier. Right? You can say amen to that, right? We like those things. We like those comforts. But what happens is, Jesus is saying, how are you measuring? Are you measuring your life by that? Is it by the house you have? By the car you drive? Is it by the money you've saved up? Is it by your 401k? Is it by whatever you've accumulated? Is it the wealth that you've accumulated? Is that how you measure your life? Is it by the amount of friends that you have? Is it about the followers you have on your Twitter account? I mean, what is it? What is it? How do you measure life? Because how you measure life is a very clear correlation to you of what is in your heart. And so Jesus is wanting this to get clear to them. He's saying, look, you've got to understand, how do you measure your life? He says, because guard against every kind of greed. So how do you break the power of greed in your life? If greed has seeped in, how do you break that power? One word, generosity. And that's hard, isn't it? Generosity. Generosity breaks the power of greed in your life. Just as when you have anger, you have to forgive. If there's greed, you have to give. You have to be willing to say, you know what? It's not about my earthly wealth. It's not about what I have. You see, when you look at this, let's look at verse 21. It says this, A person is a fool to store up earthly wealth. What does that mean? He's saying, hold up. If your measurement of life, if what's important to you is what's in your saving, it's what's important to you most is how much you have, you need a check in your heart. Because there's a chance that greed has seeped in. And he's warning them. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't save, don't have a savings account, don't be a steward of your money. And I'll talk about that here in just a moment. But here's what I'm saying. Or here's what Jesus is saying, rather. If you save more than you want to give, if you're more in tune to saving than giving, there's a chance greed is fighting you. That's hard. Because I look at this, I'm like, oh, wait, oh, here he is. He's getting all crazy. He's going to be talking. No, I'm not trying to say, you know, live on nothing, because the Bible talks a lot about stewardship. But what I'm saying is, he's saying, if in your heart you're more concerned about what you have here on this earth than what you can give and make an impact, then you need to be careful, because greed has power to destroy your life. I mean, you read what he said. He said to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. When you look at God, what does he show us? First of all, we know that God is love, 1 John 4:7-8. Second of all, we know in John 15 that his greater love than no one had than this, that he what? Give his life. We see John 3:16, God so loved the world, he what? He gave. He gave. From the beginning of time till now, God is a giving God. He wants to bless you. But he also wants your heart. And he knows that greed has the power to destroy your life. That's why the Bible talks about money so much. Why? Because it has the power. Greed has the power to destroy you. And it's a tool the enemy uses because we don't even realize we're in it. Especially if you live here in a blessed nation, a consumeristic nation that has so much, we don't realize how blessed we are. And so what happens is we get caught up in it before we know it's about what we have instead of what we can give back. So let me give you 3 steps. To kind of follow the path of generosity. How does this work? What's God's design for generosity? The first one is this: give first. Give first. Why? Because it honors God and keeps him first. Now, there's several scriptures on this. One I'll point out is Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. Let me just read it and then I'll explain it. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. It says, "The Lord of heaven's army says to the priests, a son honors his father and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and your master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name, but you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? You have shown contempt for my name by offering defiled sacrifices at the altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect." Let me give you an idea of what's going on. In Malachi, they were living, it literally says they're living in paneled houses. They're living where they had taken very, very good care of their houses, but they had let the temple go to waste. In this process, also what's going on is they are now more consumeristic. They're more about their earthly wealth. There's greed that has set in. And they're, instead of giving to God first, they're beginning to give God what was left over. So one of the key ways they gave was through animal sacrifices. And so what they would do when God's word asked them and required them to say, hey, give off the top, give me your best, and I'll bless you with more. Well, what they were doing is saying, you know what, God, I'm going to go off the best, and I'm going to give you what's left over. So that little lamb over there, you know what, that leg's just a little crooked. It's okay, you know. They were giving him basically the leftovers. And God was saying, if you're honoring and respecting me, why are you giving me what's left over? A servant, he wants to honor his master. A son wants to honor his father. Am I not your father? Am I not your master? You see what he's saying? He said, there's a disconnect. You say you want to give to me. You say that I'm important, but yet you're not giving first. When you give first, it honors God, but it keeps him first in your life. It says, Lord, what I have is not more important than who you are. Did you catch that? My possessions are not more important than you. And so when you do that, it puts God first and it changes your trajectory. Why? Because you're no longer focused on the earthly things. You're focused on your Father and blessing Him and honoring Him. The second thing we see, he tells us the second area to generosity is save second. Give first, save second. See, we're not against saving. Absolutely not. Matter of fact, Proverbs 21:20 says this, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Okay? Scripture's clear. It is good to save. Why? Because it's a form of stewardship. So we're not saying don't save. You need to save. Why? Because by saving, what? You're putting yourself in position to bless God and help in any way you can. Many times, we are in a position where there's a need. We want to help, but we can't help. Why? Because we've not saved. We've not put ourselves in position to help. You ever been there? I know I have. I'm like, man, I wish I could do more, but I can't. Why? Because I wasn't in that position. And Scripture is very clear. Give first, yes, because it honors, but save second. Why? Because God wants you to have blessings. He wants you to have wealth. His design is not for you to live in poverty, but here's what He wants. He does not want the money to control the heart. He wants your heart more than He cares about your money. But He knows they go together. That's why He's very clear in saying, hey, be careful. Don't let greed destroy your heart. So give first. It honors God. It keeps Him first. Save second. Why? Because it builds wealth and allows you to bless others and help the kingdom of God. Now, the third one is this. Live on the rest. Live on the rest. Why? It creates financial freedom. How does it create financial freedom? Through content. I mean, you're sitting here going, bro, I mean, I'm not a genius, but 10, 10, 80. You're telling me live on 80 and I'm going to be happy. Yeah, I'm not saying it's what Scripture's saying. You're like, huh? Your math's off. And it is in the natural, right? But in the supernatural, here's what happens. The moment you put God first in your life, the moment you say, God, everything I have is yours. I'm not going to allow greed to have a hold of my heart, but I'm giving it back to you. The moment you start becoming on a budget and being a steward of what God has blessed you and say, I'm going to put myself in position so when you ask me to, I can. And also take care of my family because that's part of the process God wants you to do. He says, when you do that, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have freedom. Why? Because you're going to learn the power of contentment. You're going to learn the power of contentment. Now, isn't this interesting? This is something that we all want. If you're a parent, you want this for your kids. As a parent, kids, there is a very strong disconnect. And I'll just give you a quick understanding. As a parent, I want my kids to have the best. I want them to have better than I had. I want that for them. I'm a parent. I mean, what parent says, I hope you just suffer? You know, we don't say that. You know, I want you to go through pain. You know, we want the best. But you know what? The moment, I know the kids are going, really? I think they believe that. But you know what? Because I thought my parents did. Anybody else? You know, it's like I was certain my parents had that thought at times. Anyway, sidetrack. Okay, but when you come back to it, we want that for our kids. That's a desire. But yet, nothing, and my kids will vouch for that here today, nothing fires me up more than ungratefulness. Like if we go eat and they're complaining, I'm like, done, peanut butter and jelly sandwich for you, right? It's like, can't stand it. Oh, that just drives me crazy. I do not like to complain. Why? Because it says, well, I'm not grateful for what you've done. And so there's this divide in our hearts, isn't there? We want to bless them, but then we want them to be grateful for what they have. And so the same is true with God and us. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Let's look what Scripture says. Yes, true godliness with contentment in itself is great wealth. Isn't that interesting? Godliness with contentment itself is great wealth. After all, catch this. I know your mama, if anybody else, I know my mama's quoted this. We brought nothing into this world when we came into it, and we can take nothing when we leave. Anybody else's mama said that? Boy, you had nothing when you came into this world. You have nothing when you get out of here. I'm like, yes, ma'am. You know, I didn't know that was 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. Verse 8, it says, so if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Man, that's a hard one. The truth is, I know we probably have more than we need. Don't believe it? Do a garage sale, right? You every time you do a garage sale, you pull stuff out of your house, you're like, how did I accumulate this? Or move. You know, you move. When you move, you have all this stuff at the end. You're going, like, what is this? Like, where did this come from? I don't even know. You know, like, it grew like a mold or a fungus in my house. It just grew. You don't know. But he's telling us, if you have food and clothing, you're good. Be content. It says, but people, catch this, who long to be rich. Now, here's that trick of greed. Will fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that will plunge them into ruin and destruction. And here's where he says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Do you see this? You see what Jesus is saying and what Scripture is telling us here and Paul's writing in 1 Timothy? It's over and over. Jesus is telling you, look, how do you measure your life? If you measure it by earthly wealth, you're in danger. Because greed now has the power to destroy your heart. But he's telling you, hey, I want you to be blessed. Trust me. Give to me. You know what? Save. And live on the rest and be content and watch me take care of you. And when you do, you know what? God will bless you. But here's the reality in our lives. Some of us, we struggle. Why? Because it's so hard. And if you've lived life for any bit, you know it's hard. You've all been there. But when you begin to trust God, it takes you to another level. So today I want you to ask yourself, God, assess your generosity over the last 12 months. What is it like? Has greed creeped in your heart? Do you measure your life by wealth? Here's the beautiful thing. If you do, and if it's happened to you, you're not alone. We've all gone through this. And many are going through it today. Like I said from the beginning, I think it's as a child, mine. I don't know about, I was that way. My kids were that way. Everybody I know. Why? It's inside of us. Naturally, we're selfish people. But when we look at the example of Christ, he was selfless. And he said, you know what? It's not about me. All I have is not about me. It's about you. And God, I want to give back to you. I want you to close your eyes and reflect on that this morning. If you're here today and maybe the enemy has beat you up with this. You had no idea, but greed and wealth, it consumes you. Or maybe you're at a point where you just say, you know, I don't even know what I'm doing. I need God. I need him to come in. I need his help. I need his strength. You see, here's the first thing I want you to understand. Is that we serve a God who is alive and active. And he wants to come in and give you strength and give you peace and encourage you and let you know that you're going to make it. It's that hope we spoke of earlier. That hope, you can search through earthly possessions. You can search through any other means. But the only way you'll ever experience true joy in life is when you come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that's when you realize he's the giver of hope. That's when you realize he's the giver of life. That's when you realize your purpose for life. All things that you've been seeking become clear. Clarity takes form and you begin to see God move in a mighty way in your life. It doesn't mean you don't have problems. It doesn't mean you don't have difficulties. Sometimes they escalate because the enemy wants to attack you. But the reality is this. You now have peace in the storm. You now have joy in the midst of sorrow. You learn that God is with you and you're not alone. And if you're here today and you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, we want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you've never accepted him. You've never prayed the prayer of faith and asked him to come into your life. Maybe you have accepted him in your life, but you know what? You just, life's got crazy and you've been busy. And you're not, he does not have a priority in your life. And today you want to rededicate your life to him. But with no one looking around, out of respect for each other, I just want to pray with you right now. If you're here today and you say, hey, I want to make him number one in my life. I want to put him first in my life. If you would, just make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? You're saying, hey, today I want to put him first. I want to make sure that my life is right with him. Anyone else here today? Amen. Anybody else? Amen. We're going to pray. Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 10, if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that he is Lord, then we're saved. The confession is what we're going to do in just a moment. We're going to declare him as Lord of over our life. The belief comes by my actions, by what I do, how I live, turning from the way I've lived before and turning towards Christ, putting him first in my life in all areas. And if you made that decision today, we want to pray with you and believe with you. And I'm going to ask that we all join in prayer today. Many of you have accepted Christ as your Savior, but let it be a reminder of what God's done for you. We're going to pray together to not single anybody out. But those of you who are making that decision, make this your personal prayer between you and the Lord. I'm going to help lead you for the process, but if you want to pray on your own, you're welcome as well. But let's pray together and ask the Lord to come in and help us. Let's all join together. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I give you my heart and I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name.